You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Michael Brooks.
And I'm Matt Binder.
And this is
The Majority Report.
Broadcasting to you live in the literal but not metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City.
Boss Cedar is still away, taking care of important business in Florida, but you are in his words, increasingly capable hands today.
Increasingly capable, but not quite there.
But not, well, I beg to differ. Today joining us, the sports columnist for The Nation magazine, Dave Zirin. We're going to be talking about Jason Collins' unbelievably courageous move in coming out of the closet. Coming out as a gay American, a gay NBA player, and also some not-so-positive world news in the world of sports. We're also going to be talking about late-breaking news, President Obama saying that he needs to revisit shutting down Guantanamo Bay. Fox News, upset and offended that Attorney General Eric Holder has said that hate crimes against Muslims isn't a good thing. They don't like the timing of that, I guess. Never ceases to not amaze those people.
You guess. They specifically said this is not the time to not hate Muslims.
Yeah. When is the time to not hate Muslims, according to those guys? We'll have a lot more. Plus, of course, in the better half, your phone calls, your IMs. A lot of good stuff coming for you. But right now, we're going to go to a quick break, and we will be right back with Dave Zirin of The Nation magazine. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
All right, what is it you want to do when you grow up?
Hey, yo, I'm going to be on Tita. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Now I'ma start collecting props, connecting plots, networking like a conference. Cause the nonsense is yet to stop. Jake, shake me down. Haters wanna take me down, break me down, clap. All they heard was a sound. Yo, I scoped it out. I took your weak dream and choked it out. You don't really got no. She just poked it out on the D-Lo. I'm saying you versus me, yo. We can do this shit right here in front of your people. See, time is money, kid, and BS walks. And to me, it's funny, kid, when you meet heads talk. I see feds talk. They want to dig up the dirt, son. Is it me they hawk? Cause I be putting in work,
son. Gonna be on tit up. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled, blackballed. I own y'all, the veteran, running my plan. I'm the better man, crazy raw, doing my job like the mob, blazing y'all and disappearing in the fog or a mist. And chicks can't resist what I kick. They be begging for attention or some more of the deals, Nick. Word up, baby, someone may have to get hurt up, baby. Shit is mad shady, but I got to get the gravy. Platinum respect, like the force of a tech. Keep you hitting the deck, feeling heat in your chest. Banging your thoughts with the hot onslaught. A kid got shot on the spot for going where he should not. Viciously, I make history instantly. Those other lame ass loser at
They can f*** me, I'm doing my thing now. It's a lamp later on. Paid me, paid me, with some fly gators on. But now I'm grimy as they get, mud on my pants and shirt. I bet you n***s out here know I be putting in work.
I'm gonna be on 10 up, that's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine, yeah, surprisingly. I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome back, Michael Brooks, and joining us now is Dave Zirin. He's the sports editor of The Nation magazine and the author of the new book, Game Over. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And Matt Binder on the line as well.
Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Happy to be here.
So, basically, definitely wanted to talk to you about this news, Jason Collins coming out, this veteran NBA player kind of coming out of the closet yesterday has been really significant news, obviously, in sports, but more broadly across kind of American culture and politics. And I'm actually just wondering right off the bat, can you give a sense of who this guy is, what his career in the NBA has been? And just sort of like where he's coming from. He's kind of a journeyman, not like a frontline star.
No, absolutely. Jason Collins, he's 34 years old. He's played for six NBA teams. He is what's considered to be a pro's pro, a top role player in the NBA for his most of his entire career. He's somebody who has started twice in the NBA Finals when he played for the New Jersey Nets. He's somebody who really did lead the Stanford Cardinal to the Final Four back in 2002 when he played there with his twin brother, Jaron. And Jason Collins is one of those guys who you might not notice if you're an NBA fan. You really just might not. A 7-foot, 260-pound banger who once led the NBA in fouls for one season. But the thing about the NBA, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is that it's the league where we feel the closest relationship to the players. Maybe it's because they wear such few clothes on the court. Maybe it's because we're so close to the action. Right. But, for example, the NFL's equivalent to Jason Collins would be somebody anonymous to most fans. And yet, as soon as Jason Collins made his announcement, everybody knew who he was and why this was important.
Right. No, that's really interesting in terms of, and I think that he was so kind of just really articulate and vulnerable and unexpected in terms of kind of describing this process of coming out and what it was like, really hiding his identity while being, a guy who's in the spotlight in a certain way. And it was really striking. Now, you've been saying for a long time in your writing and in interviews and other outlets that you've been predicting that this would come sooner or later. Someone would sort of step out of the closet in professional sports. Now, did it still come, it actually happening, did it still kind of hit you as a shock, even though you'd been expecting it?
Let me tell you, it's like one of the most hilarious reactions to this were people on the right wing who didn't want to look homophobic. So instead they just said, well, it's not really that big a deal. Who cares?
Right.
Well, people who care are people who've been fighting to make sports more inclusive. People who care are LGBT athletes, LGBT people, and straight supporters who've been trying to make sure that sports is not this last sort of citadel of homophobia and that's widely accepted in U.S. society. So it's a huge deal. It's an incredible deal. And it hit me because, honestly, for the last 2 years, I've felt a little bit like a broken clock. And, of course, broken clocks are right twice a day, but it just seemed like the longest 12-hour period in human history. Because for the last couple of years, I've said that, probably since starting at about 2010, I've said that an out active male athlete will happen in months, if not weeks.
Right.
And I've been saying that for about 2.5 years. Now, my reasons for saying it were not pulled out of thin air. It came from real conversations with real athletes.
Sorry, folks. We've been obviously getting hacked by some, maybe that homophobic writer at ESPN or something, people who don't want this conversation.
Oh, they have none of those at ESPN. I don't know what you're talking about.
But actually, so Dave, what we were just getting into was was talking again about this notion that this has been something you've been predicting for a while, but then at the same time, when it actually happened, it was a shock. I want you to finish your thought on that. And then also, do you think that now that, you know, this is like the first drop and we're going to see a wave of people in sports kind of claiming their identity?
Well, it's just when it finally happened, it was just the wow factor was just really huge, because, you know, I kept waiting for it. I had a sort of like names in my head of who it would be. Jason Collins was not among those names.
Wow.
You could put me in the category with his twin brother, Jerron, who had no idea that his brother was gay. So,
wow.
I mean, he was pretty deep in the closet for his 33 years. Although it was fascinating to read in the article that for the last several years, the reason why he wore number 98 was as a nod to Matthew Shepard, the young gay man who was killed brutally in 1998.
Yeah.
As well as that was the year the Trevor Project started. So he was sending very, very subtle signals over the last couple of years. But it was something that it was a joyous moment. It was a celebratory moment. It was a moment where we could finally say, wow, we no longer have to say no out male athlete has ever existed in North American men's sports. And now we don't have to say that anymore. And that in and of itself is a big relief.
Well, we can also speculate that probably Phil Jackson has actually met Jason Collins. So it's news for him as well.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I also think, though, it was interesting in the Jason Collins profile and piece where he came out. Another significant thing he mentioned was a tipping point for him watching, knowing that the Supreme Court was, you know, holding court. He plays for the Washington Wizards, we should note. So he's in the same city where the Supreme Court is contemplating essentially his fate to be himself as a human being on the most basic level. And that was a very important part in the tipping point of him kind of coming out and speaking publicly. You've obviously are someone who's looked in a really wide lens at kind of figures in sports having the ability to speak out in terms of their identity, in terms of political or economic or cultural issues, versus being kind of determined, by team owners or brands or other kind of prerogatives that will sort of, maybe hold some of their ideas and freedom of expression in check. So do you think that connected with obviously this kind of reversal of homophobia and the significance of that, does this open a broader door for athletes to kind of re-engage politically or, you know, across a number of platforms and areas that they may want to speak out on?
Well, I mean, I've been making – this is what actually my book's about. It's Game Over, How
Right.
Politics Has Turned the Sports World Upside Down. It's about how I think in the last 5 years we have seen a re-engagement. And one of those issues has been on LGBT issues. I mean, Jason Collins did something incredibly brave, but one of the reasons that he's even able to do it is because other straight athletes in recent years have done just what you described,
right?
Stepped up and reengaged, particularly on this issue. Straight football players like Brendan Iambadejo, Scott Fatidas, Chris Cluey,
yep,
actually took on activist roles in the last election campaign and fighting around referendums on marriage equalities in their states. Scott Fujita was an endorser of the 2009 National Equality March, which had 200,000 people show up to it. Brendan Iambadejo has talked about there being four NFL players who are looking to have a press conference and come out jointly. So, and this is something Jason Collins is well aware of, is that there has definitely been some groundwork put down here that's allowed him much more oxygen and space and confidence to be able to step up and step forward. But as you implied, you know, it's not just LGBT issues by any stretch. I think that the deeper comfort with social media on behalf of athletes, which allows them to get around what a lot of them perceive to be a hostile sports media, as well as them just recognizing their own cultural capital, has meant that more athletes have felt like, hey, I have this platform, I might as well use it for something.
Yeah, it's almost like the de-Jordanization of professional sports to a degree.
It is. Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, there's continuity with Jordan.
Huh, okay.
Because the legacy of Michael Jordan is it's better to be a brand than a man.
Right.
And today a lot...
I almost feel like during this interview is sort of like we're kind of, along with Dave, we're like Muhammad Ali in Zaire. And the phone lines are like George Foreman, and they're just pounding on us. But we're staying strong, and we're going to take this to fruition.
Yeah, I should probably tell, just so everybody knows, because you guys are calling me from there. I live in Maryland, where we're one of the last places that has above-ground telephone lines.
Oh.
I mean, most places these days, they either go fiber optic or go below ground, and there's a massive thunderstorm happening here.
Oh, so that could be it. Okay.
So it might actually
so
not be our fault.
So,
it might actually not be our fault. That's funny. Take it
back to Jordan here.
Yeah, we're taking it back to Jordan.
To see the furthering of their brand
These
days in the 21st century in these much more complicated political times than when Jordan played in the 90s. As actually having something to say, having an opinion, being a human being, instead of just a brand. That, in a weird way, is an inverse form of branding.
Right, absolutely.
And I think that's a reflection of our political times, and it's nothing that we should be afraid of or shun or think is a bad thing. I think it's actually really positive.
Absolutely.
What would you, I mean, we speaking of Jordan, and then before we were speaking about how Jason Collins has had this long career through various teams. He's not like a big superstar, but he's known in the game because he's a veteran and he's a strong player. But he's not like one of those breakout stars. So what would you say to these? One of the things we saw yesterday was people just throwing around his stats and saying like, Jason Collins, who cares? No one even spoke of his name in the mainstream until this. Why should a normal, you know, regular NBA player who isn't Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, why should we care that one of those players came out as a gay man?
Well, I mean, I think it's history.
Yeah.
And history is about making history. It's about doing something that nobody has ever done before. And if that has to be Jason Collins, then so be it. It'll be Jason Collins. I mean, we could always construct in our mind who the perfect player would be. But it doesn't always happen like that. I mean, it happens because of qualities that maybe aren't about how good you play on the field or on the court. But they're about character and bravery and courage or just being fed up with a right-wing Supreme Court that's trying to talk about you and treat
Absolutely.
You like you're three-fifths of a human being. So that's the way sometimes history happens. And once again, it's like we got to embrace history and all its messiness.
It is just amazing how those basketball stats were being thrown out as if that's supposed to undermine what he did yesterday. It's just that to me was just almost as offensive as the slurs being thrown around, actually.
Well, it's one of the two ways that you deal with it. I mean, one way is explicit homophobia, which
right.
I think a lot of people on the right are actually scared to traffic in these days, which if you think about it, is a massive shift from 2004 when George W. Bush won re-election by putting all his chips in the middle of the table with homophobia.
Absolutely.
And putting those anti-marriage amendments in all the battleground states. And now, you know, look what happened in 2012. Tammy Baldwin, first lesbian senator, and her opponent, Tommy Thompson, actually fired a staffer for putting out a leaflet that was homophobic or that implied that she was some sort of sexual libertine who shouldn't be trusted. And so the times have changed. The wheel has turned. Smart people on the right get that. But then they have to figure out another way to prune the message. And one way you do that is if you can't blast Jason Collins for his sexuality, you blast him for, well, it's not really that big a deal. You just try to take the air out of the message. But you know what? It really didn't work. Because even if you don't think Jason Collins is a big deal, the fact that two presidents, Kobe Bryant and The Rock, all stepped forward the same day to say something in favor of Jason Collins is a big deal.
Yeah, no, I thought if you could elaborate on it a little bit more, because I thought that was astonishing to me looking, because the reaction was just a total distillation of the shift you're talking about. That, and I'm not in any way questioning the sincerity of people like Kobe Bryant or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. Actually, the responses were great. But, watching the cultural shift of a president who, for whatever reason signed, DOMA into law into 1996, now turning around to go out of his way to say, I'm a personal friend of this guy and I'm proud of him. It really showed that being on the homophobic side, that's what's marginal.
Yeah, that's what's marginal. And because that's what's marginal, it also creates a kind of a panic. So when you have Chris Broussard on ESPN go on his homophobic rant about Jason Collins sinning against God and all the rest of it, the reaction on the right, like, it was unbelievable. Like, all I did was tweet out. That was how it started. Like, I tweeted out his comments and just said, wow, well, here it is. And I got this flooded with tweets about, you're so intolerant. What about free speech? Why are you trying to get him fired? Da, 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 da. And it was just like, you could feel the panic.
Yep.
You could feel the marginalization. You could feel people who are saying, we are so comfortable with our prejudices and our bigotries. How dare you in any way criticize, our avatar of those bigotries on this day? And I really thought that entire episode was a very crude effort by ESPN just to get a piece of this story.
So you think that ESPN was just trying to cap, basically, we should just say, kind of to, then we're going to sort of shift gears a little bit. But I think this
Chris
is important.
Chris Broussard has never been shy about his feelings on the subject.
Chris
There's
Broussard,
record of him talking about it in the past. He sits on the board of an organization that's one of those, like, deeply Christianist, anti-gay organizations. This is not about Christianity, and it's frankly very, given that Jason Collins considers himself a Christian, it's deeply offensive to say, well, this is about Christianity and Christians' right to believe what they want to believe. No, this is about a right-wing edge of evangelical Christianity.
That's
Chris
right.
Broussard stands with. It's a political position. It's not a religious position. People who say it's a religious position are just giving him cover for what is a political operation. And what bothers me is that I feel like ESPN got caught flat-footed on this story.
Right.
They were embarrassed because Sports Illustrated got the scoop. They were embarrassed because they were mocked all morning because their lead story was Tim Tebow, and no one gives a crap about Tim Tebow.
This is true.
And they said, okay, how do we get a piece of this story? Well, let's find our house homophobe and put him on.
Right. No, that's really pathetic. So Dave Zirin was just summing up this, how ESPN, being caught flat-footed with this story of Jason Collins coming out, kind of resorted to unleashing one of their team homophobic reporters to kind of get some traction on this story. And that, with all the positive news in sports over the last 24 hours, was obviously an extremely negative manifestation of modern sports culture. And now we're going to go to a much, much darker place in terms of modern sports, which is another thing you've been covering. Matt wanted to ask you about, which is some of the latest news from the Steubenville football program. Go ahead, Matt.
So, Dave, you have this. You have an article on your website, edgeofsports.com, where it looks like that the Steubenville school board has extended the Steubenville High School football coach, Reno Sakochia, I believe is his name. They extended
his... Yeah, that's right. Coach Sack, as he's known.
Coach Sack.
Jesus.
That's... Oh, man. So...
Aptly named.
They've extended his contract for 2 years. I mean, there's currently a grand jury I believe the grand jury will convene to decide whether or not he knew what was going on. I mean, by all accounts, he knew what was going on, and he let these – he not only didn't report it, but he continued to let this rape crew, as they called themselves, play sports on the football team. What does that say about sports? I mean, culture. I mean, where this sort of – where this – where this rape was just swept under the rug. And I mean, I would say, and for most part, the public, you know, really rallied behind this girl. And I mean, that's why these pictures came out, and that's why it was begged for something to happen. But I mean,
let me do a mild pushback on what you just said, because you're right that there was an outpouring of support for Jane Doe, as she was known nationally. But when it came to locally in that town, I mean, it was about death threats. It was about harassment. It was about needing armed guards at her house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, far from support. I mean, her efforts to destroy her life. And when we say destroy her life, I mean, we should remember the young woman in Canada who was raped and had pictures posted, and she took her own life. That just happened recently. Her name is Satara. And so these things are happening in far too many communities, and frankly, they're happening in connection with far too many sports programs. And, I mean, what it says to us more than anything is that when sports culture goes off the rails, and it's off the rails in too many communities, we see how jock culture can very easily become rape culture. When the ideas that are promoted by a team are actually the ideas of about entitlement and seeing women as entitlements of being a star athlete, effectively seeing women as currency for being a star athlete, you get these horrible, horrible results. Now, it doesn't have to be this way, but you need to have a coach and you need to have grown-ups who are conscious that sports culture and rape culture can exist comfortably side by side and fight against it. The problem with Coach Sack is that far from even being benignly neglecting the reality of rape culture in his locker room, there seems to be a lot of malignant intent. If you go by some of the text messages the young men sent to each other about how Coach Sack is laughing, he said he's going to take care of it, and that's really toxic. And the idea, even if he's found innocent by the grand jury, first of all, the idea that they would extend him before even hearing from the grand jury is such a slap in the face.
Yes.
And even if the grand jury says he's fine, I mean, I don't see how you keep this guy. And yet they do. And it's because he wins football games. And that in and of itself sends a message not only to the women of the community, but to the young men as well, as far as what's acceptable.
I mean, you have over 134, like you say in your article, over 134,000 people all over the country asking for this guy to be fired and for them just to not even realize on that front. I mean, even if they can't open up their eyes to what's going on with like you said, the combination, the side-by-side jock culture and rape culture. But, I mean, just they don't even care enough to see that people want this guy gone because of what he's done. And, I mean, just to be blind to that alone is amazing.
You're right. And I think even worse is that they have contempt for the fact that so-called outsiders, and believe me, I got a lot of hate mail from people in that community who are like, you're an outsider, you know, therefore you have no right to say anything about this. I think that they have a contempt, though, for this idea that, no, wait a minute, Stupid Girl's a national story. There are young people watching this case, following this case. There are adults watching this case, following this case. We all have a responsibility to see that this thing goes and progresses in the right kind of way, because the cultural ricochet effect extends far beyond Steubenville, Ohio.
There's plenty of Steubenvilles out there, yeah.
Well, it almost seems like I could just imagine, you know, it seems like if Penn State, which I'm sure some people did, but came out and said, and in fact, many people did do this, kind of just blindly defending Joe Paterno, even as he turned a blind eye to systemic child rape and molestation. So obviously we have these cultures in sports, unfortunately, that you've been working to expose for a while. But it really is just unbelievable that they would renew that guy's contract.
In our era of mass culture and social media, the idea that this is a Steubenville story and a Steubenville story alone feels about as quaint as a horse and buggy.
Right. Absolutely. Do you think that there is a potential of this being reversed because of the kind of national outrage that you're highlighting?
I think that they will, unless that the grand jury steps forward with something, I think this is going to go forward as planned. I think they've dug in their heels. I think now too many people have thrown in their lot with this guy, where it would be a ricochet effect that would affect too many people in power. So, no, they have made their statement in Steubenville.
That's unbelievable. Well, Dave, we highlighted some great things with Jason Collins. We just ended on a kind of sour and depressing note, but that is the full picture of what's going on. And sorry about the technical difficulties, man, but it was excellent having you on.
Oh, my privilege, guys. Anytime. Love the Majority Report.
Oh, man, we really, really love your work, too. Thanks a lot, Dave. That's Dave Zirin. He's the sports editor of The Nation magazine, and check out his new book, Game Over. Well, there were some technical difficulties, but that was...
We pulled it up.
We think we pulled it through. That was a great interview. I think that, like, the fact that now the coach is the stand-in for the town of Steubenville to say F you to basically the national press and concerned people across America is just... I mean, I don't even want to say it's unbelievable, because I think what we're kind of getting at, what's so depressing and disturbing about it, is that it's all too believable. You know?
I agree.
Want to go?
I'm impressed that we were able to pull off that interview with all the technical difficulties. I'm still in shock. I'm sitting here in shock with that.
What do we do? How do we do it? I guess I just kept resetting the questions. I hope it wasn't. I hope it wasn't too annoying for the people watching this live.
Yeah, it was. I think we handled it pretty good. The one time I was kind of like, "What are you doing?" was when you were teasing what you were going to ask him next while we were calling him. I was like, "That's not necessary."
Let's drop a little bomb on him. Like, all right, Dave, we totally switched topics. Sorry, buddy. There are consequences for living in Maryland and having screwed up phone lines.
I think that's the show. I mean,
are we ready? I have one. Let me do this. I'll do this really quickly.
What are you going to do?
Fox News being upset about the.
No, that's, you know what? That's better half material. If you want to mention Guantanamo.
I think Guantanamo will elaborate on. But I think that President Obama, in a press conference this morning, has said that the situation doesn't make sense. He said that he needs to revisit closing it. The only thing I would say that's really important is just kind of touched on that right off of the bat is both Jason Collins' story and the fact that Guantanamo has kind of been pushed back into radar shows that, you know, social activism really can work to a degree. And obviously the fact that these guys in Guantanamo, many of whom have been totally cleared by every type of legal process possible through the Bush and Obama administrations and are still there, and they're engaging in this hunger strike, has forced this back to the forefront. Now, we'll still see what happens. I think when Obama first got into office, there was a good faith effort to shut down Guantanamo. Obviously, it didn't work, and then he completely dropped the ball on it and even closed down, I think we reported a couple of months ago, closed down or sort of drop the process of people looking for ways of closing down Guantanamo. So it's good to hear him say this. Obviously, the pressure needs to stay on and there needs to be follow through, because this is a catastrophe and it's completely unacceptable. We're going to move into the better half. Folks, definitely become a member. That's really what you got to do. Sam has a month-old kid. Patent trolls are running wild, and still bringing you really good content, really good product every day. If you can do it, please become a member at any level possible. Go to Amazon through our Amazon link, and when you buy products at Amazon, it makes no difference to you. It just gives us a nice little kickback. What else should they do?
They should do everything and anything we've ever told them to do.
I'm trying to remember the other things we always told them to do, though.
Well, subscribe to our iTunes. They can youtube.com/Sam Cedar and watch all of our videos and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You mentioned donate your account.
Like us on Facebook.
What else? They can
follow us on Twitter.
Bookmark the Amazon link on our website. And do all your shopping through that Amazon link, and you will notice no difference. everything will cost you exactly the same as it costs everybody else who does their shopping through Amazon. But by buying your stuff through that Amazon link, Amazon pays us a teeny tiny small percentage that, you know, maybe buys us a dollar lunch every other week.
It buys us a dollar lunch in the fashionable lunch district. That's awesome. All right, folks, the better half, Republican senators, Democratic senators who are paying a huge price for voting against background checks. Fox News is all offended that Eric Holder spoke out against hate crimes against Muslims. Your calls, your IMs, everything in the better half of the show. See you in a minute.